Hello and welcome back to the Burnt Breakfast, and it is time for one of my favourite segments of the week. It is Book of the Week, or Books of the Week. Good morning, Rebecca. How are you going?
Good, thanks, Liam. How are you?
I'm very well. How is life?
Life is rather fabulous, thank you very much.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
And you were just saying it's getting a bit busy now School for Your Books.
Yes, definitely. We're definitely seeing an increase in overseas and New Zealand tourists, most
interesting,
definitely.
Interesting. Yep. I guess that was bound to happen eventually.
Yeah. But we're certainly seeing an increase, and which we're happy about, obviously.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And the rest of New Zealand needs to be happy about it, I guess, as well, because it's just more money going into the system. And
I'm sure we need it.
Yes.
Yes. Right, you have quite the pile today.
Well, it looks like quite the pile because they're quite fat,
aren't
they?
They're thick
books. We did talk about that. But then, you know, new books tend to have bigger fonts and bigger line spacing.
Yeah, I learned this today. I didn't realise that's kind of how it works.
Yeah. If anyone's unaware of why, we always get sold in a trade paperback. That's the big one first. And then it goes down in about sort of 3 to 6 months to a B format, which then, of course, reduces the font size and the line spacing. And that's why we get the different size books.
Well, there we go. A bit of education for our audience this morning. Anyway, kick it off for
us. Okay, kick it off. Okay, the first one is a new Ian McEwan book. Now, Ian McEwan has written, I can't even tell you how many books he's written, but so many.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen that name a lot.
You will have. He's written, and a lot of his books have been transferred to the screen. So Atonement is one of his, and On Chesil Beach is another. He won the Booker Prize for Amsterdam, which was in 1998. He's been writing for a really long time. This book's called Lessons, and it's the story of Roland Bain's life interwoven with the events that parallel his life, starting with his... he's born in, like, 1948. So
why do I know that name?
What, Roland Bain?
Yeah. Is that a person?
It's a made-up name, but you're thinking of... what's his name, Bain's...
Yeah, I think I'm thinking, okay, so this is not a real person.
No, it's not a real person.
Okay.
But the person in this book, Roland Bains, it's the lessons learned through his life. So the parallels of what's going on his life as he grows up and turns and becomes an old man through his life. It starts with his vulnerability at boarding school, where he's taken advantage of by his music teacher, and the scars and memory never fading in his life. We travel with him through the years from the Suez and missile crisis.
That's 60s, isn't it? Yeah.
Yep, 50s and 60s. The fall of the Berlin Wall, climate change, and the pandemic. So
to
the present day.
Yeah, right.
And his journey raises important questions like, can we take full charge of our lives without damage to others? And how do global events beyond our control shape our lives and memory? And what can we learn from the traumas of the past? It's really beautifully written.
Deep thinking stuff.
Of deep thinking. And he always does that with his novels as well. He always brings in these things that sort of make you think about and there are often parallels with your own life or with other people's lives in his books. He writes really well. The last book he wrote was called Machines Like Me, which was just like so fantastic. It was perfect, wonderful book. If no one's read that, have a read of it.
Okay.
It's just fantastic. Sort of set in... the premise of that was that Alan Turing had not died.
Oh, interesting.
And he had, and so things like cell phones and the modern day things that we have now were all developed way back in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, right.
And so in the modern day, we now have human-like robots that are actually like robots. And Machines Like Me is like that. And this guy in the book... wins the sort of lottery aspect, and there are 13 females and 12 male robots.
Okay.
And or machines. And it's really fantastic.
Sounds quite spooky.
It's not, though. That's the thing. You think it's going to be spooky, but it's not. It's really about the relationship between himself and his neighbor upstairs, who he really likes, and the machine. But anyway, that's sort of an aside, but it's about Ian McEwan, really. He really sort of gets into his characters.
Right.
And expands them and makes you really think about, you know, stuff.
That's so good. We need to think.
Yes, we do, don't we? So anyway, the next book I've got here is by Natalie Haynes. It's called Stoneblind, Medusa's Story. So Natalie Haynes is... she's a classicist, and she is a writer and presenter of Natalie Haynes Stands Up for the Classics. So she's a bit of a comedian as well.
Oh, okay.
So that's on BBC Radio 4. And this is the story of Medusa told through the female gaze. This is her fourth novel on Greek women, and her stories always are so fun to read. It's fast-paced and exciting, and from a very different angle than how women have been represented in past retellings and translations.
Right.
Because, you know, all the way through history, men have always written about the Greek myths, and women you know, they're just not really spoken about, really. And if you only know the story of Medusa as the girl with hair of snakes, who will turn you to stone as soon as look at you, then you must read this and see how maligned she's been all these years, because, that's pretty fantastic.
That'd be a good
really
book.
Great.
I love kind of classic stuff as well.
Yeah, so do I. And it's just incredibly engaging style. She's fantastic. The last book she wrote was called Pandora's Jar, and in that...
I think I've heard of that one.
Well, straight away she writes that it was not a box.
Yeah, right.
The word box was mistranslated in the, I think it was the 13th century by a man the word jar, was translated into the word box. So it's mistranslated. So we have always thought of Pandora having a box that she opened, and the whole ills of all of mankind came out of the box. But it's not that at all.
Right,
so she just re-looks at everything and sees it from a different perspective, and she picks out all of this.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, really great. So this next one is a much lighter and really interesting book. It's called The Bullet That Missed. It's a new Richard Osman Thursday Murder Club mystery. So, it's a perfect holiday read. It's perfect reading as an antidote to these dark times.
Right, yes, we need that.
If you like,
so very much need that.
Well, if you like detective mysteries without the gore and dread, then this Thursday Murder Club mystery is just the ticket, really.
Okay.
Elizabeth, Joyce, Ron and Ibrahim chase down clues to solve a cold case a decade old. There's no body and no answers. Then a new foe pays Elizabeth a visit. Her mission, kill or be killed. Can the gang solve the mystery and save Elizabeth before the murderer strikes again? Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah, I love that.
He writes so really well. He just is he's a mystery detective type of novelist, kind of like Agatha Christie, which leads me on to the biography of Agatha Christie by Lucy Worsley. A very elusive woman.
What a pretty photo.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's a lovely photo of her, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great photo.
That's when she was a nurse in the First World War. I think that, She was a really amazing woman, actually. It's an entertaining biography of an extraordinary woman, Lucy Worsley. I think that's how you say her name. Had access to letters and papers really seen. And writes how Christie, although born in a world which had its own rules about what a woman could and couldn't do, she was born in 1890, and despite obstacles of class and gender, became an astonishingly successful working woman. And there are photos. Oh, have a look at some of the photos.
Oh, yeah, I shall.
It's a really engaging style. It's easy to read with excellent source citations, which if you are a university person, then you know how important citations are.
Vital.
And so all the way through, you've got little numbers and citations. There's pages and pages and pages.
Get that often. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so I'm really pleased about that. So, yeah, it's fabulous. There's some lovely photos of her little life, even as a wee baby. How cute. And while you look at that, this last is not actually a book. It's actually a puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle around the world in 50 trees. Gorgeous.
Oh, my mum would like that.
It's based on Jonathan Drury's wonderful book, Around the World in 80 Trees, and it's illustrated by Lucille Clare. And I think I brought in the latest, I think it was Around the World in 80 Birds.
It was a
couple
bird
of months
one.
Ago, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And there's also Around the World in 80 Plants. So this one here is it's 1,000 pieces, and it includes a poster with each of the trees, where they're from and a description of them and how they grow, which is really fabulous.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. That's cool.
Isn't that cool? So each area, so Northern Europe, Southern Europe and North Africa and so on. It does have Oceania, and it doesn't have a New Zealand one, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a shame.
But it does have things from places like Papua New Guinea and Fiji and other places like that as well. Gorgeous, really beautiful. So yeah, highly recommend it. We've got amazing new puzzles coming in, which is
fabulous. I was reading something over the weekend that apparently puzzles are the new cool thing. Back again, apparently.
Totally. Honestly, we sell hundreds of puzzles.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And
oh, wow.
I mean, once upon a time, it was a sort of standard kind of puzzle that you could get. But now, I mean, look at this. It's just utterly gorgeous.
Yeah, there are some really elaborate and stunning puzzles out there now.
Yeah.
And that one's very cool as well. I can imagine, like, for those who love a difficult puzzle, this one would be. Like, there's a lot of green and a lot of foliage.
Yeah, so every single tree, all 50 trees, are actually included in the puzzle. Not necessarily the entirety of the tree, but on the poster, the part of the tree that's included in the puzzle, that's the actual picture.
On the poster,
you can see that. And there's even a little house in there. And there are there are little animals and things like that. And do you remember I brought that Agatha Christie puzzle in a couple of months ago?
Vaguely.
Yeah,
remember,
a friend of mine bought that and did it and just said it was amazing.
Oh, cool.
Just really fabulous, because there are all these sort of little detective-y bits that they could do all the way through it as well.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's fun. So Around the World in 50
trees. So those are my little specials today, Around the World in 50 Trees.
Great selections as usual.
Yes, and then Richard Osman's The Bullet That Missed, the new Thursday Murder Club mystery. Natalie Haynes' book, Stone Blind, Medusa's Story. Lessons by Ian McEwan. And Agatha Christie, A Very Elusive Woman by Lucy Worsley. Come in and say hi.
Yeah, thank you so much for your choices today.
Most welcome. And thank you to, there's a person who came in last time and asked for a book that I had recommended, and that was really great because he said that he had heard me on the radio, so it was really great to know that there are people who come in and after they've listened to us. So thanks very much for saying that.
Yeah, thank you guys. I actually brought a book you recommended.
Really?
The History of Humankind in 12 Clocks.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Enjoying it?
I am thoroughly.
Yeah.
I have loaned it out temporarily because I just wasn't getting through it quick enough, and who I loaned it to I know will read it very quickly.
Oh yeah. I think you said your dad might be interested in that, didn't he?
Yeah. But he won't read it quickly. No. So he will get it once I've finished it. Readers, listeners, you're not readers yet. Go be readers at Scorpio Books.
And Telling Tales. Don't forget our children's
and
bookshop.
And Telling Tales, of course. Because kids need to read it as well.
They do,
of course.
Yes.
And it's really just quite whimsical.
in there.
Oh, isn't it gorgeous? We just actually changed our tree to a spring tree a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, have you? I didn't actually realise you changed your tree.
Oh, we change our tree seasonally, yes.
We've got brilliant.
A few little leaves and a few blossoms on there, and we'll move into summer eventually when all the trees go green. And we put up our Halloween display yesterday.
So cool.
Lots of... Not so much books about Halloween specifically, but it was really amazing how many books we have in the shop that have just scary things associated with them, which is,
fun. I can imagine, actually. Yeah,
ghost witches, but also monsters and ogres that sort of thing, and scary stuff.
Great. Do some Halloween reading. I guess people don't kind of equate Halloween to reading much, but it's totally something that's applicable, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's just a different angle, really. If you're going to read something and you haven't read a scary story for a while, maybe.
Love that. Well, thank you so much for your presence here in the studio
today. You're most welcome, Liam. Always a pleasure. See you next time.
Yes, you shall.